In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We have arrived at the last Sunday of Lent. We have Holy Week still, but as I said at the beginning, Lent goes by a lot faster than you think on the front end. It seems like it's going to last forever, but it goes by, so you have to try to make the most of it while you can. The primary lesson of the celebration of St. Mary of Egypt is that no one should consider themselves beyond the possibility of repenting and even becoming a saint and even one of the greatest saints. You can return from a degenerate life and be saved, and God can heal you of all of that. But it's also true that the worse the spiritual disease, the more radical the remedies are that are needed to heal the patient. St. Mary of Egypt did not merely say the sinner's prayer and then live a normal life as a mild-mannered Christian after that. She spent the rest of her life in the desert. And we read that for 17 years, she endured a very intense daily battle to overcome the passions. It says, "Believe me, Abba, 17 years I passed in this desert fighting wild beasts, mad desires and passions." So she's not saying she literally fought wild beasts, because later on she says she never saw a wild beast in the desert. But the wild beasts that she's talking about were mad desires and passions. "When I was about to partake of food, I used to begin to regret the meat and fish of which I had so much in Egypt. I regretted also not having wine, which I love so much, for I drank a lot of wine when I lived in the world. While here I had not even water. I used to burn and succumb with thirst. The mad desire for profligate songs also entered into me and confused me greatly, edging me on to sing satanic songs which I had learned once. But when such desires entered me, I struck myself on the breast and reminded myself of the vow which I had made when going into the desert. In my thoughts, I returned to the icon of the Mother of God which had received me, and to her I cried in prayer. I implored her to chase away the thoughts to which my miserable soul was succumbing. And after weeping for long and beating my breast, I used to see light at last, which seemed to shine on me from everywhere. And after the violent storm, lasting calm descended." So this is a beautiful description of how she overcame these passions. But 17 years, she says, she endured this on a regular basis. And then she continued to live many decades more after that, still in the desert, but attaining to higher levels of sanctity. It's better to build a fence at the top of a cliff than to build a hospital at the base of a cliff. Repentance is always open to us, but as the saying goes, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. The years that St. Mary lived in debauchery did real damage to her soul. Christ forgave her and healed her, but we should not kid ourselves about the seriousness of sin and think that we can somehow sow our wild oats in our youth, repent, and then go on as if nothing had happened, because sin always leaves scars. God's grace is there as long as we have breath and we can repent, and Christ can heal us, but the scars remain. They don't go away in this life. One thing that we should take from this is that, first of all, parents should do whatever they can to prevent a child from being seduced by the things of this world. And that means maintaining a Christian home life and raising them in the church and protecting them from the evil people and the evil culture and evil entertainment that surrounds us. Those of us that are adults, we have to pay careful attention to guard ourselves and not be careless about what we spend our time doing and how we entertain ourselves. It's often the case that people are struggling with various passions, and the fact is they're feeding those passions on a daily basis and then wondering why they're not overcoming them. Well, the thing is, you have to starve the beast. You can't keep feeding the passions and expect that you're going to be able to overcome them. And one thing that has always struck me about this portion of the life of St. Mary is when she mentions the power of music. Because When I was in high school, I got into some very unchristian music, and so I know how powerful it is. When we sing, when we listen to music, there are parts of our brain that are engaged that are not engaged when we're just listening to a lecture or reading a book. You might have seen on YouTube videos of people who have Alzheimer's patients and they're in a catatonic state, and then they'll start playing some music that they remember from their youth, and their eyes light up, and they even sometimes begin dancing. It's really amazing because these people seem like there's nothing going on inside, and all of a sudden this music evokes something in them. Well, the thing is if you're listening to good music, if you're listening to good Christian music, then that thing that's evoking that in you will be something that will be evoking virtues. But if you've been listening to garbage, then the thing that will be evoked in you are things connected to passions. And like St. Mary of Egypt, these will be the kinds of things that as a Christian you'll be struggling to forget. You'll be struggling to put these things out of your mind. When you learned how to read, you didn't just have your parents or your teachers write down the letters for you and say A, B, C, D. We all learned the song that goes with that, because when you sing the ABC song, you're able to remember the order. And I remember when I was working for the state of Texas, when I would be filing stuff, sometimes just try to remember what the order of the letters would, I'd be singing that part of the ABC song in my head to remember their order. So music gets into your head, and don't test me on this, but I could quote you all kinds of songs that I haven't listened to since about 1985, about 86, because that's when I really started to repent of these things. But those songs are there, and so I have to try to put them out of my mind. But far better it would be to never have put those things in your brain in the first place. You know, there's all kinds of things that we struggle with, memories that we have, but it's far better to not have them there in the first place. Bruce Lee made the comment that the best way to block a punch is to not be there when it lands. The best way to block these temptations is to not have them make a connection with you in the first place. I often used to hear people say, I don't listen to the words, I just like the music. That's nonsense. You're listening to the words, those words are getting in your head. So what can you do? The thing is it works in a negative way, but it can work in a positive way. You can learn to sing the hymns of the church. You can learn to sing the Psalms. And rather than allowing music to be a snare, it can become a weapon that you can use against the devil. There are many martyrs who sang hymns as they were being martyred, because those hymns gave them strength. As St. Paul admonishes us in his epistle to the Ephesians, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.